To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. Good morning, geeks. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. What a week. Hope you're all caught up on Stranger Things as well.
Yes, it's a massive week. Mm-hmm. And lots of geek stuff. And there's more binge-worthy stuff coming as well. Punisher not too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix don't care about whether you're alive or dead. They just want you to binge.
Right.
They actually don't want us to sleep anymore. So that's good. I'm happily not really alive today, so that's good.
Yeah, well, you know, a solid 9 hours is thank you, Stranger Things. And it's going to be the same with Punisher. 12 hours, no sleep. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Don't need to sleep.
Exactly. But this week we had some great news from our favourite filmmaker because we just don't rant about him enough.
Yeah, like every one of our shows needs to have a little bit of Taika news, which I'm very happy about. So this week... And it's been bubbling. Like, you and I think have maybe talked about it off air a few times around a proposed What We Do in Shadows sequel idea that's been kicking around for a little bit. And first it was maybe it was going to be a film, then it was going to be a TV show. But this week, with, like, the highest rated Marvel movie ever and also the highest rated superhero film of 2017, Taika Waititi, is just getting money and projects and whatever the hell he wants thrown directly at him. And so the great and fantastic news is that What We Do in Shadows is looking like it's going to get a direct cinematic sequel that is going to be focusing on werewolves. That's right, folks. Werewolves, not swearwolves.
Hang on, let's just hear that one more time.
Don't swear.
What are we?
Werewolves, not swearwolves.
Iconic and moment.
And we know the friend of the show and alumni, Maria Lewis, is absolutely flipping out right now. As an author of werewolf books, and now she can go along and see the Werewolves Not Swearwolves sequel that she's been dreaming for, this is great news.
And she's a Kiwi, never forget either.
Yeah, we never forget. Never forget.
Never forget. So, yep, Kiwi, werewolves, the best.
Exactly.
But we also got a new trailer for something that's coming up in December. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. No, there's a little movie. I think it's like independent. It's probably going to have a like really small release.
Yeah.
Not many people are going to go see it. It's on December 15th. It's called The Last Something. It's called The Last. What was it called, Soph? Sorry, I forget. What's it called?
Jedi?
That's what it's called. The Last Jedi. That's right. Star Wars Episode Goddamn 8, people. You know what we're talking about. Rian Johnson directed. This week, you know, we flipped out because they kind of do these formal trailer drops. These official, what they call like official teaser trailer, official trailer 1, official trailer 2. We kind of already had gone through that. And then they did this rad little TV spot, which, and I think that, I don't know if they expected it to go gangbusters, but this little TV spot has Luke mother-flipping Skywalker getting onto the Millennium Falcon. And if you thought that people were going to go ape about that, you are crazy. Because everyone has just gone bananas over this during the week.
Oh, it's just like, wait. Like, so much of that. Luke is back on the Falcon.
It has been the source of some quite good memes as well. One really strong one, I can't remember who did it, but they like had Luke on the Millennium Falcon from 1977 in Star Wars, where he's looking so hopeful, youthful, exuberant, and excited. And then they do the one from The Last Jedi, where he's all like draped in dark, you know, darkness and his dark Jedi outfit and stuff like that. And they're like, me in 2016 versus me in 2017. And I really enjoyed that. So if you can seek it out, I'm sorry I can't give you the credit. But yeah, like, look. Number one, the more stuff we're seeing about this movie, it only looks more amazing. But just like that little flavor of Skywalker on the Falcon is just like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, this is amazing. He hasn't been on the ship since Return of the Jedi, so we're getting pretty excited about it.
Oh, they're all about the Jedi films, isn't it?
Yes.
Jedi,
yeah, these Jedi, these damn these movies, they're all about these damn Jedi. They're such jerks, these Jedi.
Speaking of jerks, though, you as a film critique, There is some jerky things happening in the world of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, look, Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I said it's so American. Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes. That's probably a good way to say it, actually, because it is American. They're owned by Comcast, so they're a company. And ultimately what they are is an aggregator. They're like a news site, but they're an aggregator for film and TV critical voices. So when you're a critic and you're lucky enough to post to Rotten Tomatoes, you just go in and you add your review to any film, and then it, you know, changes the score of that, you know, whether you're 99% fresh or 98% fresh or 100% rotten. And some squirrely stuff was happening this week. Bad Moms 2 just came out in the States, and we are going to see that very shortly in Oz as well. Mm. And people were posting reviews, and Rotten Tomatoes wasn't showing the score. So, like, hundreds of reviewers, without an embargo, were able to post their reviews, but just nothing. Like, so you could see the reviews, but nothing was showing about the score. Rotten Tomatoes delayed showing the score until basically the opening weekend tickets were sold, which is a real ethical sort of quandary, because if Rotten Tomatoes, which is an aggregator, and all, you know, not everyone looks at Rotten Tomatoes, and in fact, me as a critic, I don't look at the score on Rotten Tomatoes and instantly decide whether I'm going to go see a movie. I love movies, so I'm often going to go make my mind up. Mm. But there's a weird line there where they're now like withholding the score, and a lot of folks are talking about it. Well, potentially, who's doing that? Is that the studio paying Comcast to withhold the score so that they get a sweet opening at the box office because no one knows what the movie's like? Mm. Or is it, you know, or is it something even squirrelier? Like, if you got something like the Justice League, which is coming out very shortly, is the movie bad so they're not as bad so they pay a stack of money so that none of the Rotten Tomatoes scores go up, even if there's no embargo, so that people don't get coloured by that first weekend, they can still make bank? It's a real weird thing.
Well, I guess we just have to wait and see, and if it becomes a common occurrence, then we'll know.
Oh, we'll be talking about it around Justice League, because Justice League, pretty much most of the critics in this country have not seen Justice League yet, and it comes out on the 16th of November. And so when I get along and see it, and Soph gets along and see it, it's pretty much the same time that everyone's going to go see it, which is that Wednesday evening, Thursday. So it's going to be super interesting to see what Rotten Tomatoes does. Is it going to, like, weirdly withhold scores, or what? Like, it's really, really weird.
Squirrely, whirly, whirly, whirly. Well, that to end off of otherwise exciting week.
Yeah, look, and just one last one. Let's get out of the world of weird and get into the world of great. Mm. There's an Australian movie that the first half of it has shown this week on ABC, and it's now on ABC Ivy for you guys to check out. It's called Horror Movie, A Low-Budget Nightmare. And basically, it's a story about the making of a film called Red Christmas, which has the weirdest premise of all time, which is that an aborted fetus survives his abortion and comes back and seeks revenge on its family. It's a schlocky, disgusting slasher movie. But the documentary just happens to be possibly one of the funniest, most hilarious, most insightful, most moving portraits of the madness that you have to have inside you to want to make an independent film.
Yeah.
And it is outstanding. It is literally one of my favorite films of the year. It will absolutely feature in my top 10 list. I was lucky to see a version of it that people on the TV aren't seeing, which is I saw it cut together as a film as opposed to two separate things, like a part one and a part two. But if you haven't seen it, you need to. It is incredible.
Wow. It is out. The first part is up on iView now, and you can watch the second part on Tuesday night. So, or you can wait and then just smush it all together, I guess.
Smush it together. I mean, I'm a fan of the smush, but otherwise, if you've already watched part one and you know what I'm talking about, you have to watch part two on Tuesday.
I just remember watching the trailer and going, oh my God, this looks kind of crazy, kind of incredible, and oh my God, I feel so sorry for these poor filmmakers.
Yeah, look, Craig Anderson is the main subject, and man, he puts himself through some serious torture, and it's great. It's for our pleasure. Gary Douse, the director who captured Craig's madness, is doing it for our pleasure. So enjoy.
I'm like, on that note, enjoy your weekend. Hopefully we'll be in for another geeky week, I'm sure, because it's just chockers for this last quarter.
It doesn't stop, so if we've got so much to go before the end of the year, we're cramming stuff in like maniacs. There'll be end of year lists coming. And, of course, we finished the year with some lovely Last Jedi action, so I can't wait. Have a happy Saturday, geeks.
See you next week.
Bye.